Welcome to the Blue Gold Sports Podcast. I'm Ryan Roddy, joined by Corey Moore. And let's just be blunt. West Virginia lost to Texas Tech, and Neil Brown lost his job. 6 years at West Virginia, two wins over a 500 career mark. Take away those FCS wins, and he's under 500 in Morgantown. Corey, your instant reaction to the news yesterday.
I mean, my instant reaction is that a pretty significant era in Mountaineer football feels like it's about to just be banished to history because ultimately there really wasn't anything significant that happened in the Neil Brown era. There almost was. This year was supposed to be the year that things were supposed to really happen for WVU, but never really did happen. So I feel like there's a solid chance that given 10 years or so that this 6 year run by Neil Brown just kind of fades out into obscurity. People only really will bring him up whenever they're like, hey, let's talk about a Zach Frazier. Let's talk about a Beanie Bishop. Let's talk about a COVID year, things like that, and how Mountaineer football was played during that time. But ultimately, in terms of success, there isn't a lot to be super proud of. And that doesn't mean there's a lot to be super disappointed in, but like by no means do I think that over his entire 6 years that Neil Brown was a terrible coach, but it does feel like he's just going to kind of fade into obscurity and not be a name that stands out forever. So that was my immediate reaction. Then after that, I started thinking about what does this mean for coming next year? What does this mean for team players that are on the team now that maybe entering the transfer portal and things like that, because he did create a culture. Neil Brown did create a culture that players clearly wanted to be involved in. And now that that's kind of crumbling, what does that mean for WVU going forward? Do we see a reshift similar to what Mountaineer basketball just did, men's basketball just did, with Darian DeVries coming in? Or do we see a similar thing to the year before with Josh Eilert, where they're trying to kind of keep things intact for now, in a little bit of a rebuild year, a little bit of a gap year. So it'll be an interesting thing to see. But those were my two main takeaways coming out of the announcement.
Yeah, I mean, this season, just 6-6, 500 season, ultimately very disappointing for West Virginia. They had big hopes and they could just not fulfill those. I mean, let's see who the interim head coach is, because I don't believe that they'll hire someone quick enough to coach the bowl. And like you said, keep the team intact. You got signing days on Wednesday and the transfer portal opens in a couple days. So, I mean, you could lose a very solid core here. You got some young guys with a couple of years eligibility left. You think of Hudson Clement, who's a redshirt sophomore, Nico Markyal, who's a redshirt sophomore, guys like Jaheim White and Traylon Ray, who are sophomores, Ronnie Gallagher, who's a sophomore. So you got to keep this core intact, because I highly doubt that the Mountaineer Nation wants a full rebuild. I mean, it's going to be hard to do something like Kurt Cignetti did at Indiana, 10-0 before that loss to Ohio State, but it's just all a waiting game. You got to see. Ren Baker has a good history of hires, so that's something that is positive for the Mountaineer fans. But Neil Brown, at the end of the day, it's a business. I personally thought he was a great man, a great guy, really had the best interest of the program. But at the end of the day, if you can't win, then like that doesn't matter, I feel like. You know what I mean? Like, that's your goal is to win. And if you can't do that consistently and effectively, then you're out of West Virginia.
Yeah, it's a tough thing in college sports and in sports in general, where if you're a head coach, there's only one way to do your job correctly, and that's if you win to the standards that you need. And for 90% of teams that are looking to win, those standards are winning a national title or at least showing the ability to make it there and do that. So that makes it immediately so that Neil Brown already had a little bit of a really difficult challenge in front of him, because only one team ever is going to win the national title. But if you're not consistently looking like you're going to move closer to that, then you have to be cut loose because your job description is not being filled because your job description says, hey, do everything you can to get our team to win and get our team to the next level. And technically, he wasn't doing that. That doesn't mean that he didn't create a good culture in the locker room. That doesn't mean that he didn't improve skills of certain players, and that doesn't mean that for a long time that he didn't foster a good environment for Mountaineer fans and for Morgantown in general. I mean, if you think of a guy like Randy Mazey in WVU baseball, where he stuck around and for a good while, and people really liked him, but ultimately for a bit, the question was, hey, do we really want to stick around with this guy if he's not going to get us to the next level because we're losing in the biggest moments? And it was great that he ended his career last season with a regionals appearance, with a super regionals appearance in the NCAA tournament for baseball. But ultimately, that was the question of, hey, like, we really like the environment that this guy is fostering. He's clearly finding talent. He's clearly making a great place for these baseball players, but is that going to be enough? And I think that was the question that Neil Brown faced. And with football being the number one sport at West Virginia, you're on a lot more of a time clock than a Randy Mazey is going to be, because there's a lot more pressure to succeed now every single season than there was in that situation. So I don't think he was a bad coach by any means, like you said, but the environment of it makes it so that he's going to move out eventually, and that's probably going to be sooner rather than later if you're not producing results. And after you see him regress from last season, that's an immediate sign that, hey, we need to move on.
Yeah, and I think the buyout was like a 9.1 million, if I'm not mistaken. But because he just signed a contract extension last offseason, like you look at the 8-4 season, Mayo Bowl win, and you're like, okay, you know, like Neil's trending upwards, and then like you said, just completely, you know, fell out of sorts this season. When you regress, that's never a good sign. I mean, it's not like you can go trade players, like he said, like you can't trade players. You know, there is technically the transfer portal, but for West Virginia, that after you go 6-6, you know, down season, like that's hard to try to tell guys, hey, buy into our program when there's other teams out there that are contending for the new 12-team format in the college football playoff. But some candidates to replace Neil Brown, I've got a few that I've looked at, but is there anybody specific that you would like to see or that you think may have a chance at taking his job?
Well, I mean, there are some obvious names out there, like a Rich Rodriguez that has WVU ties. There are some obvious ideas of really big name coaches that have been out of the game recently that might be wanting to bring back. Specifically, a guy who may have been paid a lot by Texas A&M to not work there anymore in recent years. So, I mean, there are available coaches to fill this spot, and I don't think West Virginia is a place that coaches don't want to go to. I think Ren Baker has proven that coaches do want to come to West Virginia. I mean, I know today I'm talking a lot about other West Virginia sports, but I feel like you kind of have to whenever you're looking at coaching situations and how that relates to Morgantown in general. But if you look at a WVU volleyball, they just got a shift last season with Jen Greaney coming in. She had a huge success rate in her old school. She completely reshaped a program, and Ren Baker told her, "Hey, you're capable of rebuilding programs. You should want to do that in Morgantown." And he was able to convince her to do that. I don't think that pitch will be any harder with WVU football, because that fan base is so much bigger than a WVU volleyball. And that family is going to be a lot more apparent to whoever wants to come in here. So even though, I mean, maybe money will be a problem, who knows? But for some coaches, that's not really a concern, because they have already been paid by previous jobs and things like that. So I don't think it'll be hard for WVU to get a new coaching candidate. But like you said, it's just a matter of who at this point.
Yeah, and I think if you're West Virginia fans, I don't think you want a guy that's like a Jason Candle that's playing group of five foot. You want somebody that's proven in Power Four. Like that is my like it's my biggest take. You want somebody that's proven in Power Four. You want somebody that's done it before. I mean, obviously Jimbo Fisher's name's thrown a lot around a lot. He said in the past that he'd want to coach for West Virginia, you know, his home state. But it's a matter of, and he's also getting still paid buyout by Texas A&M, so that'd be a little light on the money, even though I feel like there is some donors that would probably help back a great head coach hire. You know, we know all about that. West Virginia's NIL is one of the best in the country. I believe it still may be top 10. Like they got the money from, they got some big donors because people are so passionate about West Virginia sports. Like it's like their pro team, you know. It's West Virginia's pro team, you know. No pro teams in the state. So it's all about, like you said, it's all about who, when, and how. How will Ren Baker make this hire? Who will help him in the decision process? Who's going to be the next head coach? And when will they be named? Because transfer portal, recruiting, like it's go time, you know,
Yeah,
to the
you do
last
bring up
game
a
of
good
the
question
season.
of when do you think the deadline is for Ren Baker to find a new head coach? Like, when do you think it is absolutely imperative that we have a face of this team and an idea of who transfers may be wanting to come to and who the current players are going to be looking to?
I say if you can't, if you don't want to name an interim head coach like a Chad Scott to keep the team together, I say if there's any chance you can name someone by the end of today, you do it. You know, like you got signing day 2 days away. Like commitment flips can happen like snap
You
of a
don't
noodle.
think that they can wait until after a bowl game
They
to
could
get a
wait
guy?
until after the bowl game, but would it be like great? If they could hire somebody today, I think so.
I mean, it would be. I mean,
It's
ideally,
very
sure, but like,
impossible, but like if Ren Baker's got his guy
I
already.
wonder how long they've been having these conversations because I think the conversation for a long period of time is, do we keep Neil Brown or do we not? And I don't know if in that conversation comes up, do we pursue this new head coach or not? I think they were focused so long on the yes Neil Brown or no Neil Brown situation that they might not have thought a ton about who comes in next. So I think this may be a little bit more of a wait than Mountaineer fans will want. Maybe a little bit more of a wait than potential players will want. So we'll have to see how that goes. But like you said, there's always a chance that they can announce a new head coach today. And if that happens, we'll be right back on the podcast talking about it.
Yeah, I mean, that would be great. I mean, there's two unemployed guys that are in the race, you know, Jimbo, like we mentioned, and Dan Mullen, who's currently working for ESPN. So if you got somebody that you doesn't have to make like a hard decision, like, oh, do I leave? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they could just jump right into it, start flipping recruits the second they land in Morgantown, I think that would be awesome. I mean, recruiting wise, I've seen like a couple of tweets that are like, I'm still committed to West Virginia, but I reopened my commitment for, you know, 2 days before signing day. So hit me up, you know. So yeah, there's not much else to look forward to, but this head coaching search is gonna be major. So intriguing for West Virginia fans. If they can get a guy like if they can get their Kurt Cignetti, though, I talked about, oh, you want somebody that's not proven, that's proven on the Power Four level. Kurt Cignetti was at James Madison. It was FCS team just a couple years ago. Look what he did at that program. And then he jumped ship to Indiana, Big Ten program. He has success there. But there's not 100 Kurt Cignettis around, you know. But I trust Ren Baker to make a great hire. You know, Pat McAfee, I don't know if you saw that tweet yesterday, but he's like, something special is possible. Obviously, he's not going to be the head coach, doesn't have head coaching experience, and is making way more money for what he's doing with ESPN and his own show and all that. I also don't think it's Nick Saban. So, West Virginia fans, you can calm down. Like, Nick Saban would not retire from an Alabama program, an SEC program, to come coach at West Virginia for fun, you know? And he's like, I just think it's ridiculous that fans think it's happening. Like, yes, he's from West Virginia, but no, he's not going to coach for West Virginia right now. Like, he seems to be enjoying retirement on that game day set.
Yeah, I think what is important to recognize, though, is that for Pat McAfee, even though obviously he's not in the coaching race, he is a really big player in terms of West Virginia getting a rebuild. I think last season, what we saw all through this year is he brought a lot of light to West Virginia University, and he brought a lot of eyes to them looking at, hey, this is a contending program. And it's really unfortunate that the first time that he really brought a lot of eyes to our university was in a season that we ended up disappointing. But I don't think that his pull toward the university is going to go away anytime soon. I don't think that people are going to listen to Pat McAfee less or be aware of West Virginia football less just because of this season's result. Because ultimately, I mean, there were some good games, there were some good moments. I mean, if you want to think about Kansas, that's probably, looking back, that's probably one of the best moments of this season of was that comeback immediately after having your own crumble against Pittsburgh. So there are things to look at for West Virginia football that make fans throughout the nation be aware of them, even if they're recognizing, hey, this is not a contender. This is a program that we're aware of. This is one of the teams that I'm looking at whenever I'm Googling game scores, you know? So that makes it so it's very enticing for new coaches, new players to come in. And I think the fact that Pat McAfee is bringing eyes to the university makes that absolutely huge. And I think he's probably going to talk about the situation past his tweet on his show today a few times, you know, or throughout these weeks. So I think he's definitely a huge player in the race, even though he's not coaching by any means.
Yeah, and how great is it that they have Pat McAfee, like you said, like brings so much attention to the program, you know, really helps that them build that brand of this, you know, West Virginia football that's always striving to be successful, you know, hard nosed, all of the above. But like you said, I can't wait to see what he says on his show today. He's like, calm down, calm down. You know? But yeah, so a lot going on, you know, West Virginia looking for their new guy, looking for a new era of Mountaineer football. So you stick around and we'll stick here. For Corey Moore, I'm Ryan Roddy. Thanks for joining us today.